The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading about John the Baptist in the desert seems like it's very remote, a long way from our experience in everyday life. So let me look at this reading and summon this person of John the Baptist into the journey of life in which we find ourselves at the present moment. This teaching about John the Baptist is found in all four Gospels, which tells us that in the early Christian churches, the figure of John the Baptist and his call from the desert was very, very important, since it is honored in all four Gospels. The desert, which is spoken about, is not the Sahara, forbidding, extensive desert. The word used is eremos, which means a wilderness, an isolated place, a place of silence, a place which is separated from the daily commerce of life. A place without all of the distractions that we have in the manner in which we find ourselves living. It's a place of silence, a place of reflection. It's a place apart. And who goes to the eremos? Who goes to the wilderness? Those who are conflicted, those who feel disturbed in life, those who are probably have faced some profound failure in life, some division, something that gives them a feeling of being broken, struggling in life, perhaps lost, searching, looking for answers, hoping and praying for meaning in life. These are the ones that go into the desert, the eremos. It's not so much they go there to answer the issues. They go there to understand the issues, to integrate these issues into the manner in which we live. And very frequently, the issues that cause conflict and disturbance in our lives are related to our relationships, our core relationships. Might be somebody who dies and leaves an emptiness in a home. Might be a misunderstanding in a marriage, a conflict. It may be the unexpected collapse of children where we had great hopes and dreams. It may be we're led into a place unfamiliar to us, a strange place, a place we didn't expect to go, a place which is confusing. And especially, I think it's a conflict that frequently shows up in marriages, in homes, and in core relationships, either where you live or where you work. And now you're divided. You can feel it inside of you. You feel you're separated. There's something missing. There's something out of order in your life. And you're seeking something that money can't buy, that success cannot deliver, something that popular culture will not respond. There's something beyond. And so people go to the Eremos. I'm struggling with something in my life. I need to go to a place of quiet, reflection. Native Americans said, enter the cave of the heart. The truth lies within me. So we go to the Eremos, into an experience of the desert. And we go there to speak about things which we cannot address in the ordinary context of life. Well, what is the Eremos in our lives? Where is it? It's an experience. It's not a place. For some people, our search may lead us to a counselor. That's the place where I begin to discover the meaning of my experience. It may be a spiritual director. It may be a place of retreat, away from everyday life, where I can be silent and reflective. It may be in your own garden at home, if you take some time every day for quiet, contemplative, reflective prayer. That may be an Eremos experience. I find it, if I sit alone in my chapel and I write journals. Journals are like looking in the mirror. Journals teach you about yourself. It may be for some people, they come in to the church during the day. We used to do that a lot in the old days. When we were worried or anxious or conflicted about something, we'd go into a church which is empty. We sit there in the presence of God and we listen to what the Lord speaks to us in silence. We listen in silence. We live in a world of noise. And when we go to the Eremos, wherever that might be, we may hear the voice of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And repent is not a good translation of the Greek. The Greek is metanoia, come from meta, which means change, and nous, which is mind. Change your mind. You're not reading the context correctly. Just change your mind. Whatever way it appears to me, I need to take a second look. I don't need to change the other person's mind. I know what's wrong with the other person. I know what's wrong with my wife. I know what's wrong with my husband. I know what's wrong with the kids. I know what's wrong with the church. And I know what's wrong with the world. And the world has to change. The church has to change. And the people around me have to change. And when we go to the Eremos, it says, you change. You change your mind. Not the other person, not the other institution. You must change your mind in order to understand what's happening and to integrate what's happening into your life. You must change your mind. Reread the context. The longer you hold anger or bitterness or a grudge, the more disturbed you are. When you find yourself saying, I would never do that. I didn't deserve that. The longer you hold the judgments, the more disturbed you are within. The story is told, coming from the Cherokee Nation, that the wise elder, the Cherokee, speaking to a little boy, said, I feel at times that there are two wolves inside of me who are in a fierce contest. One wolf is mean, selfish, judgmental, hard, greedy. The other wolf is kind and generous and forgiving and understanding and patient. And the little boy thinks for a moment, and then he asks, which wolf is winning? And the elder said, it depends on which one I feed the most. Which wolf are we feeding? When we go to the Eremos, we begin to understand ourselves. And by the way, the greatest teacher we have in life, teaching about ourselves, may well be the person that irritates us the most. That's when I learn about myself. When I have applause and I have recognition and I have success, it just feeds my ego. It's when I fail, when I struggle, when I'm driven to the desert to reflect, that's when I learn about myself. Some years ago, I met a priest from India. He was at a priest's funeral. I never met this man before, and he said he was on his way back to India. He had finished his doctoral thesis. And I said to him, what was your thesis? And he said, anger in ministry. I said, you mean anger amongst priests? And he said, yes, I do. So we carry this stuff. We carry it inside of us. And when we come to Advent, change your mind to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Change. Don't make the other person change. You change. That's what John the Baptist says. To prepare for the coming of the Lord, let something go. Free yourself. Give something up. Overlook something. Bless somebody instead of judging. Enrich a person's life instead of impoverishing a person. Make a difference for good. Give up something. Not too quickly. Not until you have gone to the Eremos and reflected and listened to the voice of John the Baptist. So what shall we do to prepare for the coming of the Lord? How shall we arrange ourselves to be more open, to be more peaceful? I've mentioned before that this Irish theologian, John Moriarty, he would greet you in the morning with not good morning. He would say, "How is your soul?" I remember that because it meant something to me. How is my soul? How is my Advent soul? What is it that I have to let go in order to walk in peace and experience the kingdom of God, the coming of Jesus Christ? Now, that's not Christmas cards and shopping, and this is something money can't buy. You can't buy this. It's something mystical. It's something that feeds the spirit. That's what Advent is about. So until we come to understand the conflict which you have is a time of grace. It's a time of teaching. It's a time of growing. Inside the struggle is a promise. There's a promise in here. Let something go. Let the power of Jesus Christ lead you in your life. Let the strength of the Holy Spirit be your strength. Let the vision of God become your vision. Then Advent will have some very positive and real meaning.